Hello and welcome to BBC Africa Debate with Justin Rowlatt and me, Alex Jacana. We're in Sierra Leone, which, like many other countries in Africa, Latin America and Asia, is witnessing one of the biggest transfers of land in its history. Foreign investors are leasing hundreds of thousands of hectares of farmland to giant business enterprises of agriculture nature. Billions of dollars are being invested. So, is this a great opportunity for development?
Or is this something much more sinister? Are these deals actually a form of neo-colonialism? Is this really a giant land grab? Land is central to many people's livelihoods. Without land to cultivate, people can starve. And land is also often key to people's identity as well. Today, we'll be asking what's driving these mega deals, who actually benefits from them, and whose land is it anyway?
On our panel, we have Mr. Joseph Rahal from Green Scenery, an organization that is opposed to these land deals in Sierra Leone. Anuradha Mittal is the executive director of the Oakland Institute in California that has done extensive research on the topic. Mr. Ali Badara Mansari is the Deputy Agriculture Minister of Sierra Leone. Ladies and gentlemen, your panel.
Now, I'm standing here among our invited audience of about 100 people. We've got Sierra Leonean politicians, activists, students, and business leaders. Welcome to you all. Thank you for coming. Now, let's start with someone who's been directly affected by these deals. Lansana Hassan Sowa, you live in an area where a foreign investor has leased thousands of hectares of land. So how has the deal affected you and your community?
Well, it depends from what point of view you're looking at it, but as far as we are concerned as an organization, the negative effect is more than the positive.
Okay, hold on. What negative effects?
Well, for instance, we found out that there was no free prior informed consent of local communities while they gave out their land to the company. They were not well informed about how the land is going to be used and what are the negative implications. Like for now, there is a growing concern for access to land by these local farmers. There is now a land use need between the farmers and the company.
A conflict between the farmers and the company. But hold on, these deals could bring huge benefits. They're going to invest millions of dollars in developing the land. They're going to be training local people, creating jobs locally, creating a productive industry for McKinney.
Well, it might interest you to know that with a recent study conducted by Bread for All in Switzerland, it shows that the country as a nation will only be benefiting 8%.
Now hold on, but what about the community that you live in? How are they affected?
Well, the community currently, as I'm talking to you, the direct beneficiaries of this community where the company is operating. One, there is a problem with access to water, because already the company has started destroying water sources that were used by community people in accessing water. And that's a growing concern right now, because there are four communities that are without water as a result of the company's operation. Because in the MOU, the government...
Memorandum of Understanding.
The government gave the company the authority to alter or destroy any water sources that falls within their operational area. And as a result, community are now being disturbed with the operation of the company.
Okay, so there's some anger among communities in Sierra Leone about this, Alex.
Indeed, and Lansana, you mentioned ADEX, the company. You've said they're doing these things that are affecting your community just because they're not here to respond to some of these claims. They reversed their decision to join us on the program today, but sent us a document saying that they work closely with the communities and also saying that they do not find a forum such as this one a convenient one to discuss this issue. But let me turn to you, Mr. Minister, Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Mr. Mansari. Why are critics like Lansana and are they wrong when they say that these land deals are bad? They are literally land grabbing.
The issue about land grabbing, I think, is a little exaggerated in the situation in Sierra Leone. I'm saying this because many of the land deals are negotiated with the communities. That is different to say that some of these deals are not without flaws. There are flaws. Some of the deals are not properly done. And that is why, as a government, we are working very hard to ensure that we keep these companies to tune.
Because the bottom line here is what I hear from Lansana is that this is not a development opportunity. This is bad for his community. Convince him otherwise.
I would not say it's not a development opportunity. Already, ADAX has brought in a few jobs into that community.
I appreciate that we talk a lot about it, but I'd like us to take it beyond this one company, because I know there are other several companies, mm-hmm. so we could just mention them as foreign investors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. At least there is an opportunity that we have these companies within our locality, and they are providing much-needed jobs for youths, albeit some of these jobs are temporary jobs. We've engaged some of these companies to ensure that they provide more permanent jobs for these communities.
Okay, when you say jobs, specify. What sort of jobs are we thinking, very briefly?
Middle-level jobs, labor, etc.
So things like cutting the sugar cane.
Cutting the sugar cane, doing the brushing, driving tractors, driver positions for vehicles, factory workers, etc., etc.
Lanson, does this sound accurate to you? Is this description something that you're seeing around your community?
Well, they are talking about jobs. But with or without this company, these people were engaged in farming. They were farming. So there were jobs where this company came in. And for these communities, as they are looking at it now, their situation is more worse than it was before. Because before, when they were farming, they could feed their family. But now the money they are getting from this company is not enough to take care of their families, all their dependents. So to me, the job is not a lucrative job.
We're going to continue to discuss this. By the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the BBC World Service. This is BBC Africa Debate. We're coming to you from Freetown in Sierra Leone, asking ourselves a question. The acquisition of huge tracts of land by foreign investors on the continent of Africa and elsewhere in the developing world, is this a development opportunity or is it land grabbing? Anuradha Mittal, you're with the Auckland Institute, Executive Director there. You've done extensive research on this. Let us start by getting a sense of just how widespread this is. Mm-hmm. Actually, before we even go there, what is driving this?
Well, first of all, the trend that we're talking about is investments in land. Our research shows that in 2009 alone, over 60 million hectares of land, that's the size of the country of France, has been leased or purchased in developing countries. Over 75% of that is in Africa. What is driving this land rush? There are two things. One is the agricultural food price crisis, 2007-2008. When the food prices increased by 83%, the ag fundamentals are telling the world that there's a need for agricultural products, so the country's investors are rushing in. The second is your financial crisis, with the collapse of the housing market, with the disappearance of the dot-com world. Investors, private equity funds, hedge funds are looking for the next soft commodity market to invest in, and that's land.
Okay, but let's take Sierra Leone. That's where this debate is coming from. Sierra Leone does have a real problem in its agricultural sector. This place used to produce a surplus of food. Now it has to import food to meet its needs. Yet there are millions of hectares of fertile land here. So perhaps some foreign investment, some expertise from abroad is exactly what Sierra Leone needs. I mean, how do people feel about that proposition? Yeah. Anybody want to pick that up?
Okay, hands going up everywhere. Okay, Justin, you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I'm rushing around now. Tell me who you are and tell me what you think.
Patrick Corker. I represent the Sierra Leone Investment and Export Promotion Agency.
So you try and draw some of these investors here to Sierra Leone?
That's very correct.
Now, why would you argue that they should have investment from abroad here in Sierra Leone? Why should we let these deals take place here?
I think we need to step back a little bit and just look at the real reasons why the government of Sierra Leone decided to embark on the aggressive investment promotion that we're doing currently. There are severe issues with regards to import bills when it comes to our dependency on fossil fuel, dependency on importing sugarcane into this country. Sugarcane represents about 24% of the total import bill. We have the food security issue we need to address. We have a huge gap when it comes to electricity. We need to address these issues. And we should probably look at the processes that government of Sierra Leone has embarked on to make sure that these deals are actually beneficial to the communities that they're rolled out in. And we should...
You know, I think I'm going to jump in, sorry, because I'm just sitting here listening.
This is Anuradha Mittal.
And I think this debate, if you're going to have a real honest debate, rather than throw out assumptions that this kind of investment will lead to food security, will create jobs, I mean, we have the Honorable Deputy Minister of Agriculture. I would love to hear concrete numbers, how many jobs have been created. Over our research shows that in Sierra Leone, till January last year, just in agriculture, over 500,000 hectares of land were leased. So I would love to know what kind of revenue has been contributed to national budget and where that money is being used.
If
Slepa could answer that.
Thank you very much, General. If I can just finish my discussions. The initial, as I mentioned, the real reasons why the government embarked on this was, the employment.
But she's saying, give us some concrete details. Tell us how many jobs have been created.
The promises, we should realize that these are very huge investments, and it takes a lot of time to, a long time to roll out.
I will give a number for you, sir.
Can I jump in, Deputy Minister for Agriculture?
A huge investment in sugarcane or oil palm that will be, employing, let's say, production 10,000 hectares of new closed estate, can go out, and that investment can actually attract about 5,000 direct employment, and another 5,000 indirect employment.
You wanted to jump in,
yes,
Mr. Deputy Minister.
I think we have to be a little fair here in terms of, I hold no brief for any of these companies. In fact, I have been behind their backs to ensure that they comply to certain standards. But let me hasten to tell you that these are fairly new companies. They are still in their formative stages. They have been set up, specifically in the case of ADAX, which was mentioned. They are just building their factory at this stage. So many of the jobs that they have on offer now are merely labor jobs. But until they really set up their business, which would happen in 2013, then we'll begin to measure the real impact in terms of jobs, in terms of other...
Honourable Deputy Minister.
Hold on a second, Anuradha. Now, Sierra Leone does have a history of foreign investment, a long history of foreign investment in the mineral sector. Now, you've got some direct experience, I think, of the mineral sector. How has the development promises that foreign companies come in to develop minerals, how have they turned out? Have they lived up to the expectations?
Aminata Kelly Lamin, Program Director, Mining and Extractives of the Network Movement for Justice and Development. I guess your question is, no, they have not lived up to the expectations of citizens, and there are several reasons for that. And those reasons I may attribute to the poor systems and processes we have as a nation. But at the same time, I want to say, if we have not been able to fix our house when mining has been in this nation for over 70 or more years, I don't see how we can fix it now for investment in large-scale agriculture.
Let me come in. Let me just try to bust
this. This is Joseph Rahal from Green Scenery.
Your discourse there. I want to take the issue of Patrick. Sorry. I've read the Slepa website almost in back to front, front to back. I have documents. I will say for true that what you have on the website is excellent. But I will tell you here, categorically, that it's all been ignored, even by the agent of government. Take, for instance, your documentation. You said that free, prior, and informed consent is paramount. Now, when you go to research those communities, you will find that all of the deals, all of the leases are not transparent. Most information given are given in piecemeal, in a way and manner in which it completely just distorts what people should have in community.
If I can just jump in there, I won't be able to say that all deals.
Patrick, of course, you represent the company that tries to draw these investors in here.
I'm the chief executive of the Investment Promotion Agency for Sierra Leone. Not all investments coming into Sierra Leone will come through the doors of Slepa. There are some people that will come in and go and engage the community directly. So there are flaws in the system. We accept that.
Let me jump in here, Rahul, and I just want to get a sense of this, because I have a feeling the debate is moving on. I can see hands are going up everywhere now. And by the way, if you want to take part, just put your hand up. You can even shout from the back and say, I want to take part.
Alex, we've got about half the audience with that.
Exactly. So, Rahul, and everyone who's listening now, key question, who actually benefits from these deals?
Well, can I jump in?
Everyone wants to say, I think
the companies are taking everything away. I think they are taking everything away. And also, I want to believe that also, in a way, there are people out of the system that might be benefiting. For instance, there are agents who are supporting these companies. But largely, the companies are taking everything away. For instance,
I want to just throw this in, because that's a big claim you're making. Now, we've got representatives here in the audience from communities where these deals have been done. You're from a community, aren't you, where a land deal has been done. Who do you think's benefiting? Is it your community or the foreign company or the government of Sierra Leone?
The government of Sierra Leone is benefiting from these investors.
May God bless you.
Well, thank you. Because we, the community people, didn't have any benefit.
Now, well, Zainab, you're a landowner, aren't you, from a community called McKinney, which has a big foreign investor.
Yes.
I mean, aren't local people not benefiting from the investment the company's making in your area?
That is, the people that are benefiting, the government and the stakeholders are benefiting from these companies.
Yeah, but hold on, you're a stakeholder, you're a landowner.
That the paramount chiefs and the chiefdom councillors.
The paramount chief is the person in charge of your community who does the deals,
yes.
But you say you don't get any direct benefit.
Not at all. All the arrangements been made through the government and the paramount chief, including the district councils.
Justin,
the result that they are coming out with, they are going with to us.
Okay. Justin, I've left the seat where I was, I know, and I've run back here. You want to speak. By the way, I put the microphone in front of you. Your name, you say what you say.
Chief Moba.
You're a chief, so you're one of the people who are benefiting.
No.
You said you're Chief Moba.
Yes. You see, I'm a businessman, that's why they call me chief.
Okay.
In the first place, the government, I blessed that lady when she said the government of Sierra Leone. This is true. That is why, in fact, they did not approve the FOI, Freedom of Information Bill, because they don't want things to come out clearly. Things are very, very opaque. They are perfectly dark. We are being put in a room that is not aerated, not even having any speck of light. Those companies that are coming here are doing things out of the way, and government does not tell us. At the end of the day, nobody is benefiting. The locals are not benefiting at all.
Let's ask, how many people here feel you're in the dark? Put your hands up. Okay, give me an estimate, Justin.
I would say that's about between a third and a half of people.
Okay, how many of you feel you know what's going on?
Oh, that's much fewer.
We're talking about
20 people, perhaps.
My name is Kadi Jumu, and I work for Christian Aid. And to be honest, this is something we've been calling out for government to be quite transparent, put things in their website. I'm glad they've created a website or an
But what good are websites to people in McKinney like Zainab?
I agree. So that is why we also encourage the councils to put our things in their notice boards for people to be aware. And yet this is not happening. And people need to take cognizance of that. The local councils need to publish, and this is what we are calling.
Minister, you know, there's a big feeling here that information's not getting out.
I think we have to be watchful here not to skew this argument and make it a little more political. The thing is, many of these informations are available if you want them.
Where is it available? Just tell the people here, where is it available?
You can walk into our offices and get this information.
Why is everyone laughing?
But let me tell you this. Many of the assertions that have been made about some of these negotiations not being transparent are not correct. The communities, we always allow them to negotiate with the investor before they even come to our ministries to negotiate any contract. They negotiate, but you'll always have grievances. That is normal. That is natural. For members of certain communities will always rise up and say they are not part of the deal. This is natural.
It's natural that people have grievances. You live in a community that's affected by this, but you're getting all sorts of things from these deals, aren't you? You're getting roads, you're getting investment, you're getting new infrastructure for water, for irrigation. You know, there are huge benefits for communities, aren't there?
I am Honorable Shaka Musa Sama. I'm a member of parliament for Constituency 88 in Pujan District. I'm also a landowner. It is not true that the community people are benefiting. Like somebody said earlier, I don't even want to say government. Certain government officials and local authorities, like paramount chiefs, are benefiting. These agreements are not transparent. Like the minister said, many of the land deals are negotiated with communities. That means some of them are not. Like in my constituency, the hands of landowners who never went to school were held, and they were made to print documents, and they did not even understand what were on those documents. I was asked to list the things that I wanted. I said, no, I cannot take even a pint of soft drink from you, because what you are doing is bad for our people.
Now, these are serious allegations. Let's pick up with other people in the audience. Everybody wants to speak now.
Yes, my name is Ibrahim Tommy. I work for the Center for Accountability and Rule of Law. I just wanted to respond to a couple of comments that have been thrown out there by the minister and certainly the man from SLEPA. The minister said...
What is SLEPA?
The Sierra Leone Investment and Export Promotion Agency.
Talk to them directly.
The minister said his government has been working with these companies to fix some of the issues in some of these days. How long will this go on? Meanwhile, communities are suffering. Somebody just told us that, sources of livelihood have been truncated. It's a serious issue. I mean, let's be clear. Sierra Leone needs foreign direct investment, but the government and local authorities need to do a lot in terms of promoting transparency. And most of these things happen without community participation, and the chiefs have to understand that they are just custodians of the land. And for more often than not, and they are talking about creating jobs. Again, the minister and the man from SLEPA spoke about creating jobs. For most of these companies, the mid to senior level employees are mostly foreign nationals.
We've heard a lot of criticism of these deals. Who in this room believes that the deals actually benefit Sierra Leone? Somebody put their hand up. If you believe here, tell me who you are.
I am Kole Bangura. I'm the director of the Environment Protection Agency in Sierra Leone.
And you believe these deals benefit Sierra Leone? Why?
They benefit Sierra Leone for many reasons. First of all, my colleague is saying that the local communities don't benefit. I can categorically tell you that people in McKinney's lives have been transformed by many, many of these companies.
But the local people here from McKinney disagree with you. They say the land deal has not been good for them.
First of all, I'm not talking direct about the land deal. I'm talking about indirect investment and indirect benefit. You see, employment is not only paid employment. Many people, petrol stations are becoming full. There are so many people dealing with food, selling food. The guest houses are full because there are so many workers influxing into McKinney. And there is a lot of GDP coming out of McKinney. Secondly, you're shaking your head with disbelief.
I think it's important to shift the debate also beyond Sierra Leone. I mean, at a policy think tank where we have looked at over 70 land deals all over Africa, actually not all over Africa, in seven countries, what we find is that if we don't look at the exact numbers, we're talking about food security, environmental protection, the truth of the matter is that we are talking about a continent where majority of the people are involved in agriculture. We are assuming that all this unproductive land is available. If you take the case of Sierra Leone, where the government says 85% of the country's arable land is available for investment, we are forgetting that a lot of that is fallow land. It has purposes of biodiversity protection. It has purposes of environmental protection. Or you look at the case of Ethiopia, where over 1.5 million people are being forcibly relocated in the name of development. You have to question what happened to free and prior informed consent.
Okay.
What happened to environmental protection?
I've got to jump in here. If you've just joined us, you're listening to BBC Africa Debate. We're coming to you from Freetown in Sierra Leone with Justin Rowlatt and me, Alex Jakana. We've got an eager audience here trying to discuss the acquisition of millions of hectares of prime farmland across the world, but especially here in Sierra Leone, by foreign companies. Critics call it land grabbing, but to others, it's a development opportunity. So which is it? The debate returns in a few minutes after this bulletin of the latest BBC World News.
BBC.
We're discussing the massive farmland investments by foreign companies in the developing world.
Are these multi-billion dollar deals a great opportunity for development, or nothing more than land grabs? Join us after the news.
BBC News with David Austin.
Welcome back to the BBC World Service with me, Justin Rowlatt, and with Alex Jakana.
This is a BBC Africa Debate coming to you from Freetown in Sierra Leone.
Now, food and fuel are two of the most important aspects of life, whether you're in Kansas City, Kampala, or Kuala Lumpur.
Which is why the issue described as land grabbing by its critics is such a controversial one.
Now, we've performed a bit of a role reversal here in Freetown in Sierra Leone. I'm now up here on the stage with our panel. We have Mr. Ali Badara Mansoure, the Deputy Agriculture Minister of Sierra Leone. Anuradha Mittal is from the California-based Oakland Institute, and Joseph Rahal from the Sierra Leonean pressure group Green Scenery.
And I'm standing here among our invited audience of about, I'd say, 100 or so people. We've got Sierra Leoneans who are politicians, activists, students, business business leaders. Welcome to you all. All right, we're asking whether the acquisition of prime farmland by foreign companies is a development opportunity for these countries or just a land grab. So far, we've looked at what's driving these benefits. We've heard from Sierra Leoneans who say it's land grabbing, they've lost their land, while others have told us that these are beneficial. They're bringing jobs, they're bringing infrastructure, and so on. So, if people are losing their land, then who is to blame? The government, the companies, or the communities?
Right, so Minister, you were itching to speak. We had to cut you off before the break. What did you want to say? Who is responsible for these decisions to hand land over to these companies?
Well, in some way, government has encouraged investors to come into this country in a very responsible way.
But a very active way. You've gone out and advertised Sierra Leone in the world.
For very good reasons. Much of the land we are now talking about would otherwise be lying fallow, in any case. We have developed policies and guidelines based on this. An investor walks into this country, there are modalities in place for them to, first of all, sign an MOU, with not just the community, but also with government. They develop business plans, and many of these business plans have in them a lot of clauses indicating corporate social responsibilities,
okay,
etc. These are all documented and are available.
Okay, but the point
I hold
of which...
no brief for the companies. I also have issues with the companies.
Yeah, my name is Elvis Eno. I think we should refocus the debate.
Yes.
Is it an opportunity or mere land grab? I think I want to look at the opportunities.
So you believe it's an opportunity?
There may be. There are opportunities, depending on how we perceive them, depending on how we manage them.
How do you perceive them?
I perceive them as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. This land, the land we're talking about, the huge land, they have been lying idle for most of the time.
That's true.
Now these are opportunities that have come. How do we manage them to be beneficial to Africa? Yes. That is what we should be talking about.
Elvis,
we're not talking about what is happening.
Elvis, the only way manage that to be an opportunity,
Joseph, hold on,
is to make sure that we have a farming system that will be sedentary.
If we look at what most people are complaining of in the hall, we were not involved. It was left in the hands of the government.
Justin,
we don't get benefits. I think there will be opportunities if the people are involved.
If the people reap benefits from
this investment, I think there will be opportunities.
Okay. So Hold on.
We have to call this to order.
Indeed.
Nobody can hear anything. Let's quickly hear from you, Anuradha.
In terms of opportunities, palm oil plantations and agri-fields don't feed people. Large mechanized farms do not create employment. Tax holidays, complete repatriation of your profits, 100% foreign ownership does not bring economic development to Sierra Leone.
Hold on.
With due respect to the last speaker, first of all, my name is Sheku Kamara. I'm an advisor to the president of Sierra Leone, advising on agriculture. Let us have some facts straight. First of all, government does not control land in the provinces or regions of Sierra Leone.
Good.
Land is owned by communities, but under the control of the paramount chief. Therefore, we have two systems for people coming to make large-scale investment. You can come through government or you can go directly to the communities. Secondly, there are three benefits to these investments. Benefits that go directly to the community, and my colleague mentioned corporate social responsibility and so on.
And you said, let's talk facts. Can somebody give the numbers? How many jobs to the community?
I will.
How
get
many
to that.
Health clinics? How many schools for the community?
If you just let me.
Sure.
Just let me. The second benefit is what goes to the government kitty, which is everybody's money.
Well, hold on. There
what are the figures? I asked that figure before.
Come in. And the third benefit is the ripple or multiplier effects of the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Sir, can you give me the amount to the national budget that has been added?
Excuse me. Some of these, as my colleague said, are very new investments. And yes, we do have some tax incentives. And we did have to legislate those to invite investment. And we cannot give you some figures now on how much money has come to government, because some of these companies, these investments have not matured to the point of productivity.
Well, sir, production. I can actually give you figures in terms of how much the companies are thinking in terms of the profits. But they have the figures. You don't have the figures.
I'd like to listen to this lady. You have been patient, putting your hand up all the time. Your name and why you want to speak.
Yes, I'm Harriet Siature, former president of the 50-50 group, and my constituency is women.
Your concern is women?
Yes, because with all these arrangements, it's a shame that we do not have representatives of any of these companies, because I'd love to know why, what they have done so far in their negotiations pertaining to women's issues, because women are the subsistent farmers. When we talk about women's involvement in agriculture, they farm backyard farming because they cannot possess land or own land. So if hectares of land have been taken by companies, what arrangements do they have in place for the women, for them to continue the subsistent farming?
Zainab, you traveled how many hours from Makeni for this debate?
I traveled 3 hours from Makeni.
Are you getting these benefits? Because your sister here is asking.
No, I'm not getting this benefit. At the time of the negotiation, we, the women, are not considered in the negotiation. Only the men.
Where are you told to go?
We are sitting in the houses when the men are negotiating with the people who are coming. So we are sitting at the backyard waiting for them. Then they wait for us and they come and tell us what they feel like that is comfortable for them.
Listen, there's people dying to speak now. We've got to give people an opportunity.
Okay.
My name is Ambrose James, and I work for Search for Common Ground Talking Drum Studio. And I think, first of all, we have to step back and look at the legal framework, look at our systems, our procedures, our practices. This is where we've gone wrong from day one. Because we can't just start to talk about signing agreements when the laws that are in force are not in line with what is going to be beneficial for people.
Okay, if you have just joined us, you're listening to BBC Africa Debate. We're coming to you from Freetown in Sierra Leone. We are talking about the acquisition of millions of hectares of prime farmland in Africa and the developing world by foreign investors. Some call it a development opportunity. To others, it's a land grab. Hands are going up over this place wanting to talk. We've got Anu Radha Mittal, who's from the Auckland Institute, and I'm going to come to you in a minute. But if you will allow me very briefly, Chief, you have been itching and you have been accused of, you know, men go aside and discuss this issue with women. Make it very brief because I want us to broaden this issue.
I want to contend the advisor to the president what he said. The land belongs to the local people. That's true. 95% of the locals, in fact, 99% of the locals are not educated. They come with their jeeps, they come around, security all about, they are afraid of what is happening. They call them, look, this is what we are going to do, sign this paper, okay, in a room. Nobody knows what's happening. We are talking about millions of dollars. The minister was saying we are taking it political, but everything is moving political in this country. I want you to know, you don't eat rice if you are not politically minded.
Now listen, one of the huge issues around these deals is the price that these foreign companies pay for the land. Now often these deals are for $2 or $3 a hectare per year. Now, Anuradha, you've studied this.
We do not pay $3 a hectare per year.
Okay, how do
it's
the land
$12.5 a hectare.
It's how much?
It's $12.5 a hectare.
So the minister says
it's in our policy documents. It's here.
Okay,
we have documents to testify.
The minister says 12 and a half.
Those are all assumptions that are wrong.
Okay, so that's a false assumption the minister's telling us. Anuradha, tell me, how does it compare to land prices around the world?
Well, the minister says it is $12.5.
It's $12.5. I have a document to show it.
Okay. Right.
And nothing goes to the government. It goes to the community. We have evidences of
how
it.
How does it? But $12.5.
We do agree. We do agree.
Okay,
even the
minister.
$12 is small. This can be negotiated as we go along.
Minister,
at the moment, that is the policy of
government. We've heard that.
To say it's $3 is a wrong presumption.
Okay, well, Minister, we'll correct that. $12.5.
I have a document
to prove that. How does that compare to land prices around the world?
Well, you know, I never thought I would come to Sierra Leone to educate the Minister of Agriculture. Yesterday, I was with Siva Investments. Let me tell you how much they're paying for land. I had never thought I would, but let me tell you, when I was speaking to the Siva Investments yesterday, they are paying $2.50 for the land that is planted, $1.50 for the land that is not planted.
We just need to clarify this issue for the audience around the world. Now, we're talking, you're saying it's $2.50 per hectare per year.
As told by the investor to me yesterday, Sierra Leone Agriculture, that made a killing by selling their lease to Siva Investments, paid $2 per hectare.
We currently have the SIVA document with us, and we are reviewing it.
Okay, so other deals, Anuradha, other deals may be
other
for more.
Deals.
But how does it compare to land prices around the world?
You know, we have looked at deals in Tanzania. You pay more for coffee at Starbucks in the U.S. than you pay for land in Tanzania. We know of an investor paying 23 cents per hectare in Tanzania. Now, these are lands for which you would pay $26,000 in your United Kingdom. You would pay $16,000 per hectare in the U.S. You would pay $8,000 in Brazil and Argentina.
We'll get
this
there.
Land
we'll
rush,
get there.
This opportunity that you're talking about is happening by selling off Africa, Minister of Agriculture.
Can I jump in?
I think I appreciate...
And you're Patrick from the investment...
From the Sierra Leone Investment and Export Promotion Agency. I think I appreciate the comments from Anuradha, but I think we need to put things into perspective. You're talking about... the $2, $3 per hectare, but what you didn't refer to is the contribution from profit that these companies mm-hmm. make to the community.
I'm waiting
there's
for
some
for the
numbers. There's
I've
some of these
about
companies
the
that are giving 2% to the community. These are all CSR activities. It's not mandatory, it's not legislated, but they're still doing it. And coming back to the figures, as you're very keen on figures, I should point you to the direction of the mining companies. In 2012, we're looking at a 50% jump in GDP just because of the mining exports going out. Similarly, we'll be expecting, you know, the same thing to be happening, you know, for the agricultural companies in the next 2-3 years. These are large-scale investments. It takes a number of years for them to roll out. People need to eat. That's why we're using the land use mapping procedure. We'll go to the community, do a land use mapping. Where there are cassava farms, we take them out. Where there are rice farms, we take them out. And the investor engages the nucleus estate, the remainder of the land. But he provides support for the cassava farmers, for the rice farmers, to make sure that they can feed their people. That's the land use mapping.
Okay, way. Let me get Justin.
Alex, yeah, look, I'm Justin. Behind you here, is, right. Alex.
Yes.
I'm at the back of the
room. Hold on, where is Justin? Oh, you're at the back of the room, Justin.
I pulled my way
yes.
to the back of the room. There's a guy here. He's had his hand up the entire debate. He's got to be given an opportunity to speak. Who are you? What do you want to say?
My name is Elijah Gegra. I'm from Culture Radio. To begin with, I think it's a shame for anybody to consider such investment or land deals as to bring any benefit for the community or for this country.
Well, hold on, you've just heard the investment, the guy who manages the investment here in Sierra Leone say they're investing thousands of dollars per hectare to develop the land, to make it more productive.
And from a moral, ethical point of view, it is wrong for any person or any country to give away fertile, arable land for pittance. This is a giveaway. We talk about cents.
But this is land that then gets huge investment poured into it to create modern, productive enterprises that will grow food and biofuels to be sold and taxes to be collected by Sierra Leone.
Finally, it's just the same argument which the people who went to Australia talk about the Aborigines they met there. They said they never used the land. You know, the land was lying there. Don't you think it is your responsibility? Or our responsibility as a people, as a nation, as a government, to create or use these lands for our own benefit and not for export purposes?
You raise a good point about export, Mr. Minister, yes.
Most of the food for export. This point keeps coming back. Can I ask one question to all of us, Sierra Leoneans? What is the alternative? We have 5.4 million hectares of land, arable land in this country. These are facts. Only between 10 and 15% of that land is used. Maybe the lady there would question my figures. It's open to debate. What is the alternative? Do we allow these lands to lie idle without anybody using it?
So listen,
I think as Sierra Leoneans, what we need to do,
now
we have to work together on this. Civil society, politicians, members of parliament, you name them, NGOs, work out a mechanism
you raise
by
a good
which
point. You asked him a question.
Yes, it's an excellent question.
Alex, as soon as he said that,
hands went up across our audience. Now, what do you want to say to that question?
Yeah, what I want to ask the minister is that if these lands, we say they are arable lands, why can't we give to people who want to who want to come and invest on these lands that can provide food for the people rather than giving them to go and provide fear for vehicles in Europe and Americas and all the rest of it. And these people still keep on suffering. So they are not benefiting from it.
So why biofuels? Why are you developing a biofuels industry here in a country that has an agricultural deficit that doesn't produce enough food to feed its own people?
I share his concern as well. That is the first question I've always asked when a company comes in for biofuel. But we've made sure, as a responsible government, that any investment company coming in for biofuel, we wouldn't say no, we wouldn't encourage you. But we'll also ensure that you have a component for food production. We are also ensuring that all of these companies that come for biofuel always have a component for food production. You okay, check the records. You have to clap for that.
All right. Let you ask that question. What is the alternative?
Thank you. My name is Emmanuel Abdullahi. I work for Society for Democratic Initiative, the organization that has been working on the Freedom of Information Bill. One of the alternatives is we're not saying we don't need investors. We're saying let the investment be transparent. For example, where are the contracts or agreement between the farmers and the communities and these companies? It's not available.
Walk into my office and you'll
see. Secondly, it should be public. It should be public document. Secondly, we are saying that the people and environmental protection should be taken into consideration. Okay. The environmental protection agency. You yourself have said you have not been able to monitor and put your hands.
So listen, we've raised.
So you should yes. You
to be fair, some of these issues have already been raised. I'm standing with a group of students over here on the other side of the hall. Now, the minister asked, "What's the alternative? Do you have alternatives to foreign investment? How is Sierra Leone going to get the money it needs to develop a modern agricultural sector?
How would you do it?"
That is the point, because the fact remains that people become over-nationalistic. The fact that we have the lands, we don't have the money to invest on this land. We must allow foreign investment to come in so that we'll be able to develop our communities. I think that is the thing we have to look at, rather than looking at what we could do for the land.
I've got a woman here with me who is keen to answer the minister's question and also that you've raised, Justin.
Our proponents thinks that they always think that it's only the economic aspect that is important. But we want them to realize that when we talk about land in Africa and in Sierra Leone in particular, land is about life. Land is about wealth. Land is about social integration. Land is about everything.
Agreed.
And so when you give out land and people do not have access to land, it's disintegration. It's disintegration and it leads to conflict. So what we are saying here, our people can make use of the land. I think we have potential in this country for them to make use of the land. Give them the environment. Yes, as Minister of Environment, you have started a new project. That project, I think, can pay off well. Commercial agriculture. You bring people together, give them the investment, the mechanism and everything. They can do it. And I believe they can do it. For me, it is only the IFIs. It is only the northern countries that are benefiting. The European Union and all the rest of them that are benefiting from our land. And we Sierra Leoneans are not benefiting. And I think there's no way I can stand here and do not, I won't say it. I will say it and will continue to say it, that we are not benefiting.
Very
it is only the northern countries that are benefiting.
Alex,
who is benefiting
Alex,
from
Agofia?
Who is benefiting from Agofia?
Let us answer this question. Alex, we've got some other views now. I've got a retired gentleman here. Now, you feel strongly about this issue as well.
Yes. My name is H. Leslie Lyman. Of course, I was part of the higher level technocrats in this country. I've listened to the debates. But let us broaden, maybe just for the purpose of argument, let's broaden this thing a bit and see it in the proper perspective. Nobody will argue against investment. It is simply how it is done, the framework within which the investment is done, and the priorities we as Sierra Leoneans set for ourselves. Any investment that will be in the best interest of Sierra Leone in the short, medium, and long run will be encouraged. Now, let us look at the short period of time China has moved from where they were in 1978. I was one of the technocrats that went to assess Chinese agriculture just as early, as late as 1978. Today, there's a very big difference. It is the framework that the Chinese government has created for investment. We do not allow investment that will just give job opportunities to
I agree with you 100%. We have to have responsible investments. I agree with you. I cannot agree with you more.
Deputy Minister of Agriculture speaking. Deputy Minister of Agriculture speaking. You're saying you agree with him?
Yes, we agree with you 100%.
Okay. What is the alternative? So
the alternative is to create the right program, do the right type of transformation
from Minifundia, what we call in technical terms, Minifundia to Latifundia.
Okay, I've got to jump in here.
Excellent.
I'm going to jump in, Joseph Rahal from Green Scenery.
Yes, I do quite agree with many of the speakers that we are not benefiting, and the alternative for us, first for us in Green Scenery, let us put a halt to all of this. Let us do a reality check. Let us sit down and assess whether we really have the land in the first instance. Let us do a mapping of all those lands that are there, how much population will be increasing in 50 years, because I know that in 36 years our population will be doubling, how much of that will be able to feed on the kind of land that we have. These are things that we need to sit down as policymakers to consider before we even try anything else about land distribution to big farming entities. In terms of alternative, I think I fall completely for the project that the ministry has in place that is trying to move small commercial small farmers to small commercial farmers. I think that is a best opportunity for our own position. These big farming systems, I will condemn.
Joseph, the minister wants to respond to that point.
Yes, in fact, I'm happy that the lady, the minerals lady, and my colleague here have provided some of the answers. We have a program in place, side by side, running concurrently with big private sector investments, the smallholder commercialization program. And this attracts a lot of farmer-based organizations in local communities everywhere in Sierra Leone, and they have large tracts of land allocated on their behalf. In fact, these lands are owned by them, and we are supporting them to build them up to the status of big private sector entities. So we are cognizant of this fact. We do not just give out land to foreign investments. We are also encouraging our local enterprises to develop.
Okay. Now listen, we're getting to the end. We're running out of time. I know it seems to have gone very quickly, but I want to ask a question to everybody here in the audience, and that is, this is early days for these new deals. This is a relatively new phenomenon, these foreign companies coming in and buying land across Africa, across Asia, across Latin America. Now, is the problem that these deals haven't yet been worked out? And this discussion here, the passion that we've heard here, is about the inequalities in the deals. Is it possible that the deals will become fairer as we learn from the mistakes that have been made in the past? Actually a viable model in the long term?
Anurada,
you've studied this very extensively around the world. Could we refine these to make them mutually beneficial?
Well, I think the pace at which it is happening, that by the time we come to that realization, no land would be left for a country like Sierra Leone. So we need to do what was pointed out by Joseph Rahal. We need to stop to assess what's really needed, because if you think investment in itself would lead to food security, livelihoods, that won't happen. So the challenge for the government, instead of listening to the World Bank Group and the other development agencies, is to have your policy space to come up with programs that are good for the farmers and people of Sierra Leone.
Now, Minister, that is a good point, isn't it? If you lease all your land on 50-year leases now, you don't have time to learn the lessons.
It's interesting, because someone wants to talk about the duration of this land tenure.
Well, my name is Samuel Valcastle of the Sierra Leone Broadcasting Corporation Television. The question to be asked now is, how long are the people going to wait? They have waited for too long, and they don't know how long they're going to wait. Are they going to wait for time that will come or never come?
Kadi Jumu from Christian Aid. This is a concern. We've learned a lot from our leasing of lands in the mining sector. What have we gained, right? What taxes we give concessions to companies at the detriment of Sierra Leone. Here is Sierra Leone pushing an agenda of raising tax to raise money for its budgetary needs, yet we continue to give concessions. And if I look at the concessions that are even given to the land, these land companies that are coming in, free imports of goods and a lot of things, at the detriment of our own generating of resources for Sierra Leone. So how do we develop?
No, that's a valid point, isn't it? This isn't new in the sense that mineral deals have been going on for decades, if not centuries. Why haven't the lessons been learned? Why aren't the bigger development benefits from these deals?
Patrick Corker from the Investment Promotion Agency. As a country, we have made mistakes, but we are learning from these mistakes. But just to point out, for the sugar and oil palm thing that people are talking about, ethanol, biodiesel, it's not all about ethanol and biodiesel.
So you think these deals can be refined so they are mutually beneficial?
Oh, yes, I think so. What the government should be looking at is a monitoring mechanism to ensure that what the investors promise to give to this country is given, and as well what the government promises the investor
is given as well.
Okay. I'm afraid we're all out of time, and I can see you've still got hands going up. You're itching to have your say. It seems this debate is in its early days. It has certainly generated a lot of passion here in Sierra Leone. We've been discussing the acquisition of millions of hectares of prime farmland in Africa and the rest of the developing world by foreign companies.
Now, is that a development opportunity, we've been asking? Is it a land grab? And it's generated huge amounts of passion here in Sierra Leone.
Join us again for the next BBC Africa debate, which is going to be coming from...
It's going to be coming from Kenya, where we'll be discussing another very contentious issue, international justice. All the cases before the International Criminal Court are of Africans. Why is that? Is Africa on trial? I'm Justin Rowlett. You've been listening to BBC Africa Debate from Sierra Leone.
I'm Alex Jakana. We would like to clap for you, but do clap for yourselves. You have been absolutely amazing.